Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKS.
21 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. This is The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. With me now on our first advantage hotline, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, before we get into Will Barton and the Nuggets situation, love it or hate it, you got to give the Suns fans some credit. They're becoming famous every single game, it seems like. There's always a Suns fan that's making a name for himself.
Yeah, they're doing the most out there, aren't they?
You got the guy counting his money out there. I mean, it was they're just like, I don't know, they're working together. They're trying to get famous, not necessarily a great way, but they're making it happen.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, though, if their team goes down, everybody's 15 minutes of fame is over.
Yeah. Oh, it's all gone. The Suns and four magic goes away. The counting goes away. And Chris, does it feel like Milwaukee can close this thing out in Milwaukee tomorrow night?
Well, they can. Yeah. I mean, this is a, you know, they've slowly but surely done, I think, two things within the same category much better over the course of the series. And that is not turn the ball over and force more turnovers. And the team that really has done this the better in each game has found themselves on the right side of the victory, the win-loss column. And so what we've seen from the Milwaukee Bucks is just, I mean, they are turning Phoenix over, and they're just kind of cashing those in a big way. And what that allows Milwaukee to do is to play in the open court. So you've seen their fast break points have gone up way up as well over the last three games. Because they're getting live ball turnovers, they're getting out into the open court, they're not playing against a set Phoenix defense. You know, Phoenix, one of the better defensive teams, one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. If you are going to just play 5-on-5 against them all night long, then that's going to be, you're going to be ramming your head into a wall at some point. And so, you know, how can you not play against that defense in a set way, you know, most of the night? And so the Milwaukee Bucks have been much better at getting out, getting the turnovers, catching those turnovers in. And conversely, they've also just done a lot better job at not turning the ball over themselves and allowing Phoenix to cash in those turnovers. So this is how this has looked. In the last three games, the Milwaukee Bucks have averaged 19 points per game off of turnovers, off of Phoenix turnovers. In the first two, which they lost, they were only getting 13 points per game off of those turnovers. And for Phoenix, they have now averaged, allowed 15.5 points off of turnovers. They got 15.5 points off of turnovers in the first two and have only gotten 10.6 in the last three games. And so, you know, you see what that category means to both of these teams that have been so defensive forward. And then obviously on top of that, Jrue Holiday found his offensive touch there. Chris Paul has not had a fantastic series. All those shooting percentages are really high overall. Yeah. But he hasn't had that same kind of impact.
When you look at this series, I mean, how much do you think the Nuggets are watching this? The front office is watching this saying, okay, this is the team that knocked us out. That's Phoenix. And we always hear that in sports. You want to try to plan to beat the team that knocked you out. Are they looking at what Milwaukee's doing? Are they thinking, man, we got to find a piece like that? We talked a little bit last week about Jrue Holiday, and a guy like that's not on the floor for the Nuggets for the most part. So do the Nuggets look at this and say, man, if we can find a guy that can just turn a switch on defensively and shut down whoever's really bothering us, that could really help us go even further next season?
I mean, maybe probably to a certain extent, but you know, I think probably more so than even that, I think the front office is just going, man, if we had Jamal Murray on the court, we'd have been a lot better
right.
off, you know, in this situation. And so I think for Phoenix, listen, this is the one team that they've played that has been healthy the entire time. You know, and they have had their star players, every single one of them, intact for every game this series. And so now they're losing 3-2. I wanted to be clear when we had discussed before. I mean, Phoenix is clearly a top-flight basketball team, and you never want to take anything away from them. But they were also a very fortunate basketball team to not have to play Anthony Davis for half a series or more than that, to not have to play Jamal Murray at all, to not have to play Kawhi Leonard for the most part. So, I mean, you are talking about a team that missed was fortunate with the players that did not have to face them in their series, and they took full advantage of that, and they got to this point. Well, now Giannis is playing, and not only is he playing, but he is dominating, and they have no answer for that, obviously, and then the backcourts are canceling each other out, so it's been a big deal. But if you're the Nuggets, I think you just look at this and just go, man, I wish we had our full team healthy, because we'd have had a fighting chance against the Phoenix Suns. And quite frankly, I think if you're the Lakers or the LA Clippers, you're probably thinking about the same thing.
Yeah, no doubt. It's been a very strange playoffs, especially on the Western Conference side of things. Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV, looking into all things NBA. Let's switch over to the Nuggets. We'll get to the Will Barton situation. We knew it was coming. You talked to us about that last week. We had a darn good feeling that this was coming. Now we're hearing both sides very interested in getting a deal done. Chris, what kind of money are we talking about? What kind of contract do you think we're talking about if he stays in Denver?
Boy, that's a really good question. And the reason why that's a good question is because, I mean, he was slated to make, what, $14 million this year. And I can't, I can't imagine that they are going to go $14 million per year over the next 3 or 4 years. But Will Barton's going to want something in that neighborhood, I'm sure. So that the question is what does that number look like for the Nuggets? Because they are also having to balance the fact that they are there's more than just Will Barton that has to be paid. Let's see here as I'm kind of going through. Obviously, Michael Porter Jr. Is a contract that everybody expects to get done and then kick in probably the following season. Jamichael Green looks like he's in about the last year of his contract. Aaron Gordon. So I don't know. I mean, I suppose they could if they wanted to. If you're watching this situation, you would have to say, okay, if the Nuggets are going to go 12 to 14 million per year for Will Barton for the next 3 or 4 years, then you can fairly well assume that, probably Aaron Gordon wouldn't be back, certainly not at a $16 million number after next season. What will happen with Jamichael Green? The money for the Will Barton contract has to come from somewhere else. And so if they do that, then some of these high-dollar players that are left, one or two of them might not be here, or there's going to be a drastic pay cut in what they're going to be able to earn with the Nuggets. So, I think that's how I view this. I mean, I can't see them going very hard, but if they did, that just means they're going to have to trim from other areas on the roster. And what you would hope in that, if you're the Nuggets, what you would hope in that category is that you get, if you're bringing in veterans, that they're playing on one or two contracts for the veteran minimum. And then you just hope that some of your players on rookie-scale contracts are going to be significant parts of your team, because those are going to be the most inexpensive contracts on your books, and you're going to need that surrounded by, obviously, Jamal Murray, who's got 29, 31, 33, and 36 coming up. Nikola Jokic, who's got 31 and 33 coming up, and then a supermax after that. And then Michael Porter Jr.'s max contract, which is going to be probably in the mid-20s for the foreseeable future. So you have those contracts coming up. Facundo Campazzo is going to be on the last year of his deal as well. So, there's a lot of financial stuff that has to come up. And so if you're going to commit to Will Barton, then you're going to have to shave somewhere else. If you don't commit to Will Barton, then maybe he won't be even on the roster, depending on what the market looks for him elsewhere.
That's what's just so interesting about this, because like you said, if you go much past 22, 23 into a three-year contract, then, yeah, you are overlapping some pretty big contract decisions. And Porter, we know that's more than likely going to get done. The one that I look at and wonder is Aaron Gordon, because I guess the question becomes, if you have to come kind of somehow in a year or two have to pick between the two, who do you want? And if Barton just goes 2 years, okay, maybe that can work. But I think they really like Aaron Gordon, too. I know the playoffs weren't all that amazing for Gordon, but overall I think they're happy with his fit, and I assume that's only going to get better.
Yeah, and especially when you have all your guys. When Jamal Murray's out there, and Will Barton, and Michael Porter, and Nikola, obviously, when they're all out there together, you know, that it makes a lot of sense. And Aaron Gordon is a really difference-making piece out there. And so, yeah, you're right. You know, what happens after next season? And that's one of the reasons why the Jamal Murray injury was so devastating, because it happened so late in the season that not only was he going to lose this season, but you're going to lose a big chunk of next season. And then what does the team look like when he comes back? Will he be the same when he comes back, or will he need a lot more time? Will he need to take into the following season to get back into the Jamal Murray form that we know and love? And if that's the case, then that is going to be after Aaron Gordon's contract expires. And, you know, what's his value to the team at that point versus what his value is going to be on the open market? How much have you, committed to Michael Porter Jr.? You know, what are you doing with players like Zeke Nagy and P.J. Dozier and Marcus Howard? And then what have you done in the draft, you know, to also supplement your roster and maybe also another veteran or two? So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot dicier. And you know, with Aaron Gordon, you know, he went from 18 to 16 million is what he's going to be making next year. So it's a big number. And you know, what we know is that, you know, with the salary cap and the luxury tax the way it is, I mean, you can't have a roster that's going to have five players in really big number, in double-digit numbers. I mean, that's just not going to be a thing. So, you know, it'll Aaron Gordon, if Will Barton comes back and they are paying him that much, then I would assume that would be detrimental to Aaron Gordon being here long-term.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Chris, feel free to shut me down on this one, but there's the speculation, right, about Damian Lillard and where he's going to go. Now he's wanting out. Is there any way, and again, if you no comment, whatever, but would the Nuggets even be a player in the situation? Because I know Lillard shared like a nice picture of him and Joker, and I can't remember the message on Instagram. It was cryptic, but it did have Nuggets fans talking, and again, Nuggets fans putting out all these ultimate monster trade scenarios to get Damian Lillard.
Yeah, I don't think they would go there, to be honest with you. I think they're pretty happy with Jamal Murray. I really do. And also, you know, so then that would be mixed messages from Damian Lillard, who also just came out and said very publicly that he didn't ask for a trade. Hmm. So, you know, it's mixed message. Well, you know, listen, it's the NBA, so mixed messages are a thing in this league. There's no doubt about that. But I'd be pretty surprised, to be honest with you, if they were to try to move on from Jamal Murray at this point in time. They have so much invested in him, and they truly believe that they are a contending team with him there. And then obviously Damian Lillard. You know what? It's a league where when the big names start to come up, you know, teams, fan bases start to get excited. I mean, you talked about him in the picture with Joker, and I've seen doctored up pictures of him in Lakers uniforms, and a doctored up picture of him in a Knicks uniform, and a doctor, you know, and so all these fan bases everywhere are so very excited and dreaming big when it comes to any little piece of information about these star players. And so I guess, you know, Nuggets fandom is no different. But I would expect that they would not be anywhere really, quite frankly, near the sweepstakes for if that was going to be even a thing, which I promise you this, Portland doesn't want to get rid of Damian Lillard. You know, so if the, you know, Chauncey Billups just got there, he didn't take that job to not coach Damian Lillard. Mm. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's, you know, that's happening on the flip side as well. So, you know, Portland's going to do all they can to hold on to him, I'm sure. And if he is saying publicly right now that he hasn't asked for a trade, then I just think we'll just take him at his word right now until, you know, maybe something happens during the regular season to change everybody's mind. But yeah, I would expect that he'd be in Portland. I would expect that the Nuggets wouldn't be in any kind of sweepstakes for him. And you know, we'll see. You know, the next few months, weeks and months, you know, can change things. But that's how I read the situation right now.
It's crazy how you go one week and it sounds like, oh, he's wanting out, and then the next week, maybe not. It's just the news flips around like that quickly. Chris, what are the chances, or when would be the realistic timeline, just if you had to spitball, for Jamal Murray? Because so much of what the Nuggets are going to do, and again, regular season, they're gonna have to just figure it out in the regular season for the most part. But, I mean, is it fair to think March? Is it fair to think also right around that All-Star break? Is that kind of the timeline you're looking at?
Yeah, it's a really good question. This matter, I'm not even sure. I mean, you're talking about, if you just look at other ACLs, I guess you're talking about, what, 9 to 12 months?
Yeah.
So if he's falling within the 9 month frame would be, what, February? So, I mean, or it'd be like late January, February, 10, 11, 12. Like February, March, April, yes, it'd be something like late January, early February. That'd be the 9 months. Then obviously the full year would be back into April. But I guess anything in there would be fair game. You know, once the calendar turns to February, if he's been making progress, and you know, we've been seeing all this stuff, even toward the end of the Nuggets season in the playoffs. I mean, we saw him go from like, what, brace and sock and crutches to, you know, kind of limping around with none of that to taking shots and warm-ups, you know. And so we saw him for a few weeks really look like he improved a whole lot, in just a short period of time. But, nobody knows what's happening right now. I mean, that really hasn't obviously been publicized in any kind of way. But if you're just looking at the general timeline for ACLs for other players, it seems to always be 9 to 12 months. And if that's the case, then you're talking about February to early February all on into April. That'd be the range for him to be back.
Yeah, and then as you said, there's always the coming back process too, getting him back on the floor. Chris,
yeah.
Rapid fire for you here. Paul Millsap, Austin Rivers, JaVale McGee, those guys back with the Nuggets next year?
Well, you know, what's the contract look like?
Yeah, so far, zero, right? I mean,
yeah,
would it make more sense for Austin Rivers at this point, too, because of the Jamal Murray situation?
Yes, I would say so. And, I haven't done the deep dive into all the other free agent, like, shooting kind of players out there, If it's a big market of them, then maybe the Nuggets can kind of look around and explore and see what they want. They obviously liked what they saw from Austin Rivers. The money obviously matters. The years matter. I mean, if you get him on a 1 or 2 year deal, then maybe you do it for single digits, single digit millions of dollars. If you're sold on what he brought to you, not only just on the court but off the court, and he seemed to be awesome, off the court and in the locker room for that basketball team. That's everything that they ever said, and in his interviews with the media were really good. So we'll see about that. Paul Millsap, good question. I think that his future with the Nuggets is probably a little bit more up in the air, because they can always start to Michael Green at the four, if they want to do that, and then you still have guys like Zeke Nnaji, whatever they want to do in the draft as well. And so, those contracts are, a lot cheaper than even a 1 year deal for. I mean, he just made $10 million on a 1 year deal this year. You can reduce that by kind of a lot if it's a younger player. And Jamichael Green will be going into the last year of his contract. That they are not in any kind of pressure to bring back Paul Millsap if they don't want to do that. And then in regards to JaVale McGee, I mean, I'd like to see him back. Really, really make him a significant part of that second unit. And I think the one thing that we've really seen in these playoffs is if you can have a guy who can really put pressure on the rim and collapse defenses, it can open things up for you from your three-point line. And I just think for the Nuggets, they're going to need that, especially – without Jamal Murray, you don't have a ton of guys. You really only have one guy that commands a double team by himself, and that's Joker. But when he's off the court, how can you bend the defense? How can you kind of distort a defense and make them get into rotation on a regular basis? Well, you can do that if you have a player like JaVale McGee who is a lob threat, who can finish around the rim. And so now you're drawing in that weak side low defender. Now you're starting to open things up in the corner, and then you can pass around and put a defense in rotation. So, and I'm sure he'd be amenable for sure to he's been on 1 year contracts for the last three seasons, I believe. So, I think it's just him signing a 1 year deal would be, well within, reason for both parties.
Well, he's a multi-championship player and an Olympian. So
and a player that, you know, even early on, Michael Malone really sang his praises in terms of what he was bringing to just as a vocal player in the locker room. And so, you know, if you can just get him, if you can get him on the court and really integrate him into that lineup, I think, you know, he doesn't have to be a world beater. All he's got to do is block shots, be athletic, put some pressure on the rim, give that second unit a chance to really be dynamic, and that's what you're looking for. And so, you know, we'll see. But obviously, you know, as we have gone over here, man, there are a lot of roster and financial decisions to be made.
Yeah, no question about it. It's going to be very interesting. And then, of course, we'll get to the draft, too. Chris, appreciate you as always, my friend. We had you on Thursday, but wanted to get your fairly immediate reaction to the Will Barton situation. So appreciate you rolling with us as always, my friend.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon.
All right, man. Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV, 1242 the time. Before we jump out of here, Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Got a couple of mottos. Services as unique as life and live well, plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. That's 970-330-6824. 42 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.